is David Williams, working with the Whitley Oral History Group, talking to Roy and Mary Cox about their memories of Great Whitley. Roy, would you like to start us and tell us about some of your memories?
Well, we moved at number 9, the Glebe, Great Whitley. When they were first built, we were the first to move in, which was...
I think that might have been 1954 or 5, because Gran and Grandad came at the same time.
Yes, I think that's about right.
You were 12.
Yeah, 11 or 12, yes. So yeah, that's my first memory of Great Whitley.
Yeah.
Well, not my actual first memory, because my dad worked in Whitley Court grounds, and I used to go with him to work there. Spend the day with him or whatever.
That was the maintenance of the grounds.
That's all round Whitley Court grounds. And the farmer was Thomas Ward.
That's right. As a small boy, I can remember you coming with Mr. Ward's lorry.
Correct.
To the glebe, loaded with fruit and veg.
Correct.
That to go
was
to
it.
Market.
Yes. When I was 18.
And my memory tells me it was a black Bedford dropside lorry.
Correct. That was it.
Yeah, you'd come and late at night and then you'd be gone early in the morning.
Yes, and I'm afraid to say I woke everybody up going to market at 4 o'clock and before, for which I apologise now after quite a lot of years.
So Mr. Ward farmed the ground at...
All round Whitley Court.
The Pains now farm.
Where the Pains are now, right. Yes.
And was he market gardening?
He was.
That was just fruit...
Fruit and veg and... And he used to go round different farms and buy fields of peas, fields of cherries, what have you. And I used to go collect them up at night, ready for market the next morning.
Did he employ a lot of people?
No, about half a dozen at the most.
Right.
Yeah.
And the farm buildings were actually where the Panes are now, or...?
No, there was no... There was one building right at the far end of his fields, where the washing pool is now, do you know?
I do, yes.
He had a big barn there.
Would that be what was known as the hangar?
No. That was just below the pool. And there used to be a little bungalow there where one of the workmen used to live. I think there's a bungalow, a new bungalow been built there.
So what were your duties then, Roy? Anything and everything?
Everything.
Tractor work?
Tractor work, ploughing, baling the straw.
Well,
mainly on the lorry after when I got taking things to market and et cetera, et cetera.
And yes. Your dad worked for Mr. Ward as
oh,
well?
Oh, yes, before, yeah. That's when I was at school, I used to go with him.
Was it primarily Birmingham Market you went to?
Birmingham, Wolverhampton, London... Spitalfield Market, oh, Bristol, yeah. Avonmouth.
London, that was a long old trip in that black lorry, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
On the old road to London, Fish Hill and all that.
Yes, we never went no motorways, yeah. That was just the ordinary road, Oxford and that way, yeah. Evesham Market, all the markets. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go to Whitley School?
No, I went to Astley School and then Stourbolt. They wouldn't have me at Whitley. But that, going back to that building, what I said was up on the top of the washing pool.
Mm-hmm.
It burned down. And actually, it burnt down on the day I left. When I parked the lorry up and said cheerio to everybody, I walked home. Coming down the drive was the fire engine. And they stopped and they said, can you tell me where the deer barn is? Which was called the deer barn.
Oh,
then.
Yes.
It had me a bit gobsmacked. Didn't know what they were. I said, well, yeah, but do you want the farm? Because the farm next to Tommy Ward's was called. No, he said, it's a barn on fire. Told them and they went... Psh-psh.
You rushed back, did you?
No, I did not. No. I carried on.
Yeah. The Deer Barn Farm, is that the one that's below the house that Mr. Edwards... Is that the farm just past there
yeah,
on the
well,
right?
That,
that was his new place.
That house, if I'm thinking of, was Tommy Ward's.
Oh, right.
He had it built, yeah, because we helped the builder stack the bricks and whatever. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We used to stay there when they went on holiday to look after the house.
Mm. And Mum, did she help on down there?
Not really, did she? No. Yeah.
I know she used to help at the 100 House because
oh, yes,
my mum.
Yeah.
and Mary's mum used to go up there, perhaps even Mary.
I did,
helping at weddings and things.
In their white little aprons.
That's right.
Yes.
You've got it.
And she worked for the doctors.
Oh, yes. Dr. Johnson.
Good stuff. So you used to have hijinks, did you, as a boy in Whitley?
I'm not recording that, thank you very much, no.
And what about Red Marley?
Well, the one I will tell you, I got pinched for coming, driving from Stairport to Whitley with no lights. The policeman pulled me up and said, can I have a look at your lights on your car? I said, yes, certainly. Well, when the car was stopped, and I switched the lights on, there were lights, but not very good, admitted, but there were lights. And the sergeant then said, I want you to get those fixed. I said, certainly. Well, the next thing I knew, on the Christmas Eve, believe it or not, I had the summons to appear in the court at Whitley for driving from Stairport to Whitley with no lights. And when I got into the court, who should be the magistrate? It was Dr. Goodwin. He was the magistrate. The day before, I got up extra early to take his load of peas or blackcurrant, I forget what it was, and I took them down to Bristol Market for him. And when I see him on there, he looked at me and said, oh, sorry, my lad, it hurts me more than it hurts you, but I've got to find you such and such and so. Oh, and that was at least a week's wages. So that was it. So I never took any more stuff for him.
Yeah, because the police station used to be quite active. In my early memories of Whitley, there were a couple of constables and police sergeant.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Tom Dallow and Tony Boughton, I think, was the sergeant.
He was, Boughton, yeah.
And Wallace.
P.C. Parton.
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know, here's one good story for you. Morning, I went for my test. Early in the morning, the farmer used to take all the people around, bags of potatoes and different things. They used to give them to the old folks and different people. And I had the job of taking them round. Well, on the tractor, I had great big L plates. And on the trailer, everything properly. On the lunchtime, I went for my test and passed. So the first thing you do when you get back is get your L plates and you rip them up and throw them away, don't you?
That's right, yes.
So I carried on in the afternoon, taking stuff round. And they see me, didn't they? Of course, I had no L plates on, did I? They come out and road stop me when I come back there. Come on into the police station. And they give me the dressing down and told me what they was going to do and what they wasn't going to do. So I let them carry on for quite a bit. And I said, would you excuse me while I go into the tractor and get my coat? Well, hurry up, they said. So I went out and got my coat. And I got my pass thing and everything, what I had. I'm kidding, Minson. I put it on the desk for them to have a look at. They didn't like me after that day. But it was nothing to do with me.
And about you, Mary, you must have some good memories of Whitley.
Yeah, just the one that I told you about the Mr. Austin, and he had a field next to the school. And when we came out of school, we went to my mum, and everybody were working in the potato fields and all beet. And we used to stay there until it was finishing up time, and we used to get a ride on the cart horses back down to where Red Marley, where they were stabled. And it was lovely because we got to get them, see them get fed, and you know whatever else that needed to be done.
That's right. Don Bowen was telling me about those. There were three cart horses apparently there.
Yeah. I did know their names, but I can't remember. You know, and then we get a lift home from there. On the back of his, he had a little flat-topped lorry, didn't he? So we all had a ride on the back of that.
This is Mr. Austin, who's lived at the Highways.
Yes, that's right, yes.
Mrs. Fullard's...
Well, she was his housekeeper.
Oh, I see.
That's it. And they lived there with Dolly, her daughter, and her husband. And they looked after him until he died, and then they stayed on until Dolly... the daughter died, and then I presume it was sold off back to the family.
So Mr. Austin had the fields where Mr. Talbot and later Colonel Hildick Smith.
Yes, he had some properties up there. He worked that, yes. I'm not sure whether he owned that three-quarter meadow. I'm not sure about that at the time.
Right.
But... Yes, He was, I think, and then before that, he owned the 100 house. And then when he retired from the 100 house, I presume he had that house built. And he moved over there.
Yeah.
But he was a lovely man. I used to collect his paper on my way back to school. I used to call at the post office and collect his paper and take it to him.
And they had a cafe in the ground. Yes. In the garden.
That's right. Yes. Well, I think Mum had a wedding reception in there. I know they've got photographs taken in the garden. There, you know, with everybody on, and then I think they had the reception there. That was later than it. I think it was some. Was it Pam Biggs? She had flowers. I can't remember. I think it was her. Yeah, it was a flower shop at one time.
Oh yes, yeah.
And then of course it went after that, and sometimes I used to go up there and I used to play in there. It was quite nice to play in there. But
once you were looking at an old photograph I had, and you said there was a tree.
Walnut tree.
That was opposite the hunting place.
Yes. It was just below where the new house is now being built, just there.
Yes.
So. If the walnuts fell on the side of the road, the other kids were all right. And because I could go in the car, I get the most walnuts.
Are you talking about the little wooden shed on the corner?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Brian Norton, when he first started cutting hair, he went in there to have his little shop for cutting hair.
Oh.
Brian did, yeah. Do you remember Brian Norton?
I do indeed, yes. Yeah, Angela's.
And I was the first for him to attack. Because he worked for Bickerton's in the Stourport hairdressing. And then he had this little shop up there and sat in there and cut everybody's.
You may remember, I'm sure Brian had a funny little three-wheeled car.
He did, a Bond. I had a lot of rides in that with him. And he used to turn in his own space. Yeah.
Because his dad was something to do with roads and drives.
Yeah, he worked on roads and drives, yes.
And your dad, Mary, he was a carpenter?
He was, yes. He worked on the maintenance at Naylor's, the carpet factory.
He built the pulpit in the church.
Oh, yes, they commissioned him to make a pulpit for the chapel. I don't know where it is now, when it was taken, dismantled and... Which was rather a shame because he put his heart and soul in. Yes, I was quite disappointed when the chapel went. I think they should have kept that on.
When I worked for Richard Cole, he did some work for Richard Cole and he'd have a lift with me to work for a few months.
Yes, I can remember, yeah.
And he loved his horses, his heavy cart horses, didn't he?
I've still got his brasses.
He probably told you the same story. When he was a boy, they used to come thrashing with a steam engine. And the engineer used to get your dad to light the fire in the morning. He'd set it all up the night before. And your dad said he didn't take no getting up in the morning. He had to light the fire in the steam engine. He'd light it. And by the time the engineer had got there, it had got the steam up. It was at Stockton, was it?
Because his dad was a ploughman. That's where the brasses come from.
Originally. Oh, yes. Yeah.
So... He always threatened to me, you know, he wouldn't leave my, if it wasn't good, he wouldn't leave his brasses to me. But he gave me the brasses long before he died. Yeah.
Was he the first tenant of that number one?
Well, no, because it was my grandparents. They lived down in Snuffy Road, you know what?
Yes.
And they must have been the first ones to move up there. Because they had to get out of the Tide Cottage, so they were given that house.
Mm.
So there would be my my grandmother and grandfather, and Mom and her sister Mary. They moved up there. I don't think any of the other members of the family lived there. They were like sort of older, I think. Maybe, and then a little while after they'd moved in, they both had scarlet fever. So, and I think it affected Mum a bit and sister quite a bit. Just, you know, sort of, and that was their first memory of being up there.
Just remind us who lived in the houses in the 50s and 60s. Mum and Dad were at number one.
Yes.
Number two was.
This is my firstly of all, it was my great-grandmother, and because they moved all at the same time.
That was number two, wasn't it?
That was number two, yes. And then her daughter, my grandmother's sister, she was there, and then later Uncle Bill moved in with Joyce, his daughter, because her mother died in childbirth. So Auntie Shuck, you remember Auntie Shuck?
It's a name I can remember your mum talking about, and I can remember her brother, I presume.
Bill,
sitting on the front step. Yeah. As a little boy, I'd look over the garden gate, and he'd be sitting on the front step looking at the garden.
That's right, yeah, he was a gardener. So she bought Joyce up, and then she also had to bring up Ray, another sister's child, because his father was a footballer, so he had to travel around. He lived away, so she sort of semi brought him up. So she wasn't married, but she was a mother.
Yes, and then going further down to the next house,
Mrs. Dudenham.
Mrs. Dudenham.
Yes.
And Charlie Orr.
Charlie Orr. That was her son-in-law. Right. And then it was somebody called Jack Fields and his wife, and he was the one that did the deed for the pigs, because we all had little pigsties in the garden. And kept pigs.
Oh yes.
It was like from the war effort type
pig
of thing.
Pig clubs, they called them, didn't they?
Did they? Yeah, that's right. So once a year, I think it was once a year, he would do the slaughtering, and he did the slaughtering outside Mum's bedroom window in the drive.
Oh.
And that was my horrible memory of the pigs squealing, and I can still hear the poor things now. So then, once all the blood and guts and whatever you. And then we'd have things dangling up from the beams.
Yeah.
And a bucket with what we call them, chitlins, or.
Yes. Nothing was wasted from
nothing
pigs,
was wasted,
I believe.
No. And no. Gran used to make. You put rosemary in, lard. I think it was a kind of. I can remember sort of sitting in the pantry.
Mm. Well, when they killed the pig and got it and hung it up.
Yeah.
Do you know what they put into the middle to keep it apart? You know, the stick they used to. Turn the washing in the boiler. They had, you know, the old boilers with the foil underneath, the copper boilers.
Yes.
They had a stick, didn't they? A smooth stick to turn the washing. They used to put that in the middle of the pig to keep it apart while it was hanging up. God, what they used to do years ago is unreal, isn't it?
And our Auntie Shuck, she used to kill the chickens and stand them upside down. And in the garden in the damson tree, and if you walk past, of course they'd be still semi alive, when they'd shake and you'd be covered in blood.
Ooh.
Oh, it was horrible. And she was nothing. She'd love better than wait for a mole to come up out of a hole, stab you.
Oh dear.
Put that in.
So was Jack Field the local slaughterman?
That's
did he
right.
go round?
Yes, that's called Jackie Pig.
Oh, right.
His name was Jack, you see.
Yeah.
And then next to them, there was Bonds. I didn't know a lot about them, but their daughter got killed on a pony. She used to ride in these gymkhanas and that. Jack Cook? Did you mean?
Jack Cook. Who was in the house before Jack Cook then?
Because, no, I left home when I was 15 for 3.5 years.
Right.
Then I came back. So there's a gap.
Yeah.
That I have no memory.
And then there was Mrs. Cook, who married the Polish chap.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And then Mr. and Mrs. Howe, that would be right.
Yeah, yes, Mr. and Mrs. Howe, yes. Same.
Yeah. And then Mr. Skeet.
You
mentioned Mr. Skeet a few minutes ago.
Yeah, yes.
What can you remember about Mr. Skeet?
Yes. It was you'd go up there, and it was a garden where it was all sort of hanging, and you sort of creep through, and there he was, sat in his little shed, tapping away at his shoes, and we'd take our shoes, and he'd mend them for us, and then Mrs. Skeet would ask us in, and she'd give us a drink or something.
That's a thought.
You're right, it was a very almost as to a child, a mysterious house
That's
to go to.
Yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
It was all overgrown on the end.
It was like the person who was in the end house, the big house at the back. What was her name?
Mrs. Treadwell.
Treadwell's, yeah.
Yeah, Mrs. Treadwell.
I remember that.
Roy, you told me a story about an athlete or acrobat who used to visit Whitley.
Yes. He was named Mickey Munn. And he was...
Physical instructor in the army.
Yes, he was. And he used to teach us different acrobats or whatever you like to call it. And so one day, he started from Mary's mum's house on the footpath, got on his hands, and he walked from there to the 100 house on the footpath on his hands, all the way up.
Some feat that was. Yeah. Real achievement.
Yeah, and we watched him all the way.
And how far Mickey did you get, Roy?
Pardon?
How far did you get on your hands?
I didn't. I couldn't.
No.
I tried, but I couldn't. We'd done lots of things as he showed us. I mean, he was outstanding, he was. Yes. Mrs. Ellery's...
Nephew,
was it? Or something else.
Mrs. Ellery lived next door to you in Glebe, didn't she?
Yes.
While we're talking about the 100 house, do either of you have any memories of the little livestock market and auction that used to go on in the yard there?
No. I know the stables used to be there when I was there, all round, what they call the stable, you know.
Mm.
But I don't know any
markets. I can remember it, but I was quite small. When the market ceased... we used to have a circus come and camp there once a year. And in the sort of the field that is now a paddock now.
Yes.
Which was part of the market where they used to sort of, the holding pens. And yes, a circus would come once a year. Not animals, but more sort of acrobats and clowns and things. I can't remember any animals.
And that was like a small travelling troupe, right. I suppose, that went on to the next village.
Yes. I can remember when they kept pigs to the left where it the market was. They kept pigs in there when I was one.
Well, that travelling circus, they used to go opposite the 100 house in that field there, right? There was a travelling circus. I had a friend, David Barker, and he was a reporter for the local paper in Worcester, wasn't he? And he went to report on the circus. I went with him. Of course, they, come on in. Yes, no fear, nothing. Come and sit at the front and take all your notes. And we sat and watched him. And he was taking his notes and whether that's a bit of useful information or rubbish.
Well, nobody else has told us about a circus, so yeah, that's great.
Story. Yeah, it was only a small one.
Yeah.
There was also, Abley Hall had their rugby pitch on that opposite the 100 house.
Oh, did they? Right.
Yeah, that's their sports ground, yeah. Yes, they often used to see them playing. They'd sort of travel down from Whitley, from Abley Hall.
It was right opposite the post office, that flat, where the flat is.
On the filling station at the bottom of the hill, do you have any memories?
Oh, yes.
Stan,
with his wooden leg.
That's it.
Yeah.
You didn't have self-service then.
No.
You came out to dispense the petrol.
Yeah,
but most the local people used to help themselves, didn't they, anyway, save him walking out.
Yeah.
And pop in and pay him.
What do you remember about your time at Whitley School, Mary?
Well,
was it two classrooms or three when you were there?
Three, yes. There was Miss Winnell in the first. Then there was a Miss Plowman. And Mrs. Evans took over from her halfway through my time in there. And then when we moved up, we had Mr. Ford. Which all I can remember him doing was standing there talking about politics. I sort of lost art then. Then we had a Mr. Salmon after that, and I no comment there. And then we had another Mr. Salmon, who was a very nice man.
One of my memories of Whitley School is there was a couple of big conker trees around the back.
Yeah.
There were two big horse chestnut trees around the back.
Mine was the tree, the yew tree, where the spreading branches that you could imagine you wherever you were, you know, you could be on a pirate ship or whatever, yes. And we used to have lessons quite a lot when I was there, and then we sort of sit under the trees, and that's, you know, in the summer, and, you know, sort of do our lessons. And I can remember once we did an enactment of Hiawatha. That's one of the, you know, the good memories. But in the winter, when it was cold, and then there was another thing where we, well, two of the girls, I think it was Pam Biggs, it was, and then Shirley Griswell, I said, and they used to lead us round in a conga to keep us warm.
Yeah, there was some big coke fired stoves in the corner of the classroom.
Oh, we had big open fires.
Did you?
Right. Roaring, they were always roaring in the winter, and all our milk was stacked. When it's been frozen, it sort of comes up, and then of course when it went melt, it was
horrible. Horrible. Wasn't it? Did you have the small bottles?
Yeah,
we did.
Yes.
And Mr. Norwood from the BI farm used to bring them when I was there.
And then if it was cold, they'd put round the guard all our woolly hats and things. We got them wet so we could smell the wool. And then, of course, the ones at the back didn't feel the fire.
No. And the classroom was divided with a wooden folding partition in the middle.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. The first class, like, was a... Well, you probably remember it yourself. I don't think it had changed much when you were there, perhaps.
There was a kitchen when I was there.
Oh, no. That's where the second class was, where the kitchen was.
Yeah.
That was a smaller room.
Who was the headmaster when you were there?
Frank Whiten.
Oh, Mr. Whiten.
Mr. Whiten.
I remember Mr. Whiten.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And Mrs. Evans, Betty Evans, she was... one of my teachers.
Yeah.
And a lady called Mrs. Barbey. One of the big events in Whitley, of course, used to be Red Marley Hill Club.
That's right.
But you were there, Roy.
All the time. Never missed one. Yeah. Well, I was up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it used to be a big event, didn't it? See the field filling up with cars.
Yes.
Mr. Gordman's field.
Yeah.
Yes, because I used to go with Richie to get the starting grids on the lorry. You know, it's where they started on.
It was a big chain, like a chain.
That's right,
there,
Yeah, it was. Pretty good.
I remember going there once, a couple of days after Red Marley, and I found a flag that they had missed to pick up. A little castrel flag they used to mark the track.
Oh, yeah.
You'd think I'd found the crown jewels.
Yeah.
Well, I used to like to go, and we used to look in the fern and that, to find loose chains that have dropped out of people's pockets.
Ah. Yeah, there must have been some big crowds there from some of the old photographs that have been shown.
Yeah.
Coach trips and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, oh yes, it was a big... We still go now, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I haven't been for a couple of years, but...
No, I think it was because we weren't used to people coming into the village in great numbers, so once a year it was quite exciting.
It was indeed, yeah.
And all our family used to come down and park the cars in, so they... occasionally we'd manage to creep in, playing, but...
That's right, because I think there used to be a little entrance between... where Pam Biggs lived.
That's right, yeah.
The first police house.
Yeah.
You used to have to go up through there to get in, didn't you?
That's it.
That was the idea.
That was the idea.
Unless you knew the hillside, of course.
Yeah. No, I never paid to go in there.
In the early days,
because
we'd done
different things for and like, and this, that, and the other. Now, going back to Whitley Court, did you ever go down the tunnels?
I went... in the tunnel that used to run from the sort of boundary wall under the fountain.
Yeah.
But I understand there were others.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one. I believe, I don't know whether it's closed off, but it went right through the grounds on the top towards Woodbury Hillway. But I don't know how far that went, I'm sure.
Right.
I never ventured up that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I understand that's where they used to bring the water to drive the fountain from somewhere up on Woodbury Hill.
Yeah. Somewhere, yeah, I don't
know.
That's
probably what it was.
Yeah, but I never ventured there.
No.
Because the first time we went down there, we went with some box of matches to see, well, where we were going. Found our way up to the fountain because you could see the daylight through the top. But when we turned round to come back, we hadn't got no matches left. Yeah. And the walls was all wet and horrible, weren't they? Slimy.
I've no idea. Oh, I didn't get there.
We got
get
back
me there.
Through there as quick as we could. what the devil was his name? You know the turning off we go for Marilyn's down the lane? What's those houses on the left?
I can remember the fetes we used to have down at the old rectory. And the girls used to dress up with little pinnies on and wait on tables, and it was just the usual games. It was sort of not like it is today. So, oh, I can remember when we used to go to confirmation classes, and the rector we had at the time, Mr. Argyle, he was quite a character. He used to let the lads go into his. He had a dining room which you used to go, didn't you, Roy? Play billiards and games and that.
Yes.
But the confirmation classes were quite entertaining because he used to sort of get over the business at hand, and then he'd tell us ghost stories. He used to say goodnight, and we had to walk up the drive. We were all huddled together.
Reverend Argyle, that's not a name I've heard.
Yes, and his wife. I think his wife was related to Laurence Olivier. I think he was a sister, I think.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Very interesting.
Yes, he was eccentric, but very nice, yes.
Going back to the fates of Whitley and his kids, they had a fancy dress, right? And the you know Gil Tyler, do you?
Yes.
You know Gil. Well, we both went as an old couple. So we went to Auntie Shook's.
Yeah.
And they dressed us up, didn't they, remember? With the old black shawls, you know how they did years ago. And me with this white beard and a bowler hat and a... So we went like that, and we won first prize. And they put it in the paper. We got it here somewhere, didn't we?
Oh, God, I didn't know.
Yeah, the photograph of me and Gil.
Brilliant.
I mean, we got...
My memory of Gilbert is bringing the coal round. He was anything but a little old lady then.
Oh, he was...
Him and his dad, they carried those big black sacks of coal.
Yeah. Well, he was quite a entertainer, yeah. You could sort of the lake down. It was lovely to walk down the lawn and see the lake. And we used to at certain times of the year we'd have to go and pick the watercress, and we had a punt thing. We used to get on and pick the watercress. I don't know what's happened to that lake now. Whether it's still there or not.
Water still runs down
under
the road and down into where Mrs. Brinton used to live, so I assume it must still be there.
Yeah,
it wasn't the main lake. It was like a little side one on the left-hand side.
Your dad had a fantastic old motorbike in his shed.
Oh, yes.
As a little boy, I used to go up to get different things.
Yeah.
And I'd see this motorbike in the shed. Do you remember it?
Yeah. Oh, tell him about the side there.
Tied it onto the sidecar, that old motorbike. Put Sue in the chair. And up round the currant trees, didn't I? Find your mum when she was blackcurrant picking. Yeah.
It was a motorbike and sidecar.
Sidecar. It was a chassis.
Oh,
chassis. So your dad used to put his tools on there, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So I tied this wicker chair what was lying about and tied it onto the frame.
Yeah.
Sue got in it, and then... Did you know there was a canning factory at Whitley Court?
No.
As you go up to the church.
Yes.
And then you turn up to the church.
Yes.
Goes a bit farther on the left. And he had it there. Because we used to go there and see him when I was at work there. When he used to work on there, and he was in there canning whatever he canned, I don't know.
In like the stable yard of the court.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Yeah. That's it, yeah. Yeah, he used to, I don't know what he used to can, I'm sure. Different, you know, different produce of some sort.
That wasn't Mr. Ward, that was somebody else.
That was, yeah, somebody that, yeah, had nothing to do with the Ward.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because he used to, and he used to, you go in there and have a rattle to him, and he got his little stove and things for his make his tea and that. He used to make us a cup of coffee or whatever.
A name that I can recall, but don't know much about, was Cottons. Did yes. they farm around mm. Tommy yeah. Ward's sort of land?
Yeah.
Little Whitley
it was
in
joined. Cotton. It was they were joined right. together.
And there were some people called Colbatch Day Farmers as well.
That's right. Les Colbatch at Bank Farm.
Right. Mm. Well, Les Colbatch used to bring the thrashing box onto Whitley to Tommy Ward's when we used to thrash the corn.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm.
I understand he had a number of sets of thrashing kit, did Mr. Colbatch?
Yes, I think he did, yeah.
Yeah.
But this was like a big old tractor with a great, with a big belt to
yes.
turn yeah. it up, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a days and days of doing that. Oh. He used to bring us cider out for everybody to have a drink. Now, this is only hearsay, but 99% truth. The very first fire engine that came to Whitley Court Fire took off from Stourport, but never reached Whitley Court for a long time because it went through the hedge at Dickbrook. Other fire brigades went there, but it went there eventually. So years and years afterwards, the chap I worked for, Tommy Ward, bought it. He bought it specially for the pump to irrigate the farm, the vegetables and all the rest. So that's how it come.
And you had some experience of driving it?
And yes, I can honestly say as I drove it from where it was, from the one end of the farm to the other end to park it up safely.
And that was a difficult thing to drive?
It was a very difficult thing to drive, which I'd take my hat off to all the drivers that drove the fire brigade, the fire engine. They must have been... Well, marvellous. Oh, when I was in the choir, this was, believe it or not, one Sunday, I was